Hello, folks. This is David Miller, country preacher at large from Arkansas. We invite you now to listen next on Grace Life Radio as Dr. Luke hosts Word for America, where we discuss today's theological topics.
Mountain Maker, Ocean Tamer, glimpses of you burning my eyes. Worship of heaven fills up the skies. You made it all, said let there be.
Here, let me interpret.
Faster.
Do you know what I just said? I don't either, but today on Word for America, we are going to talk about talking and speaking in tongues, which is a very, very interesting topic that you hear a lot about and talk a lot about. And in fact, some denominations will say that you must speak in tongues, otherwise gibberish, in order to be saved. It is a sign of salvation. That is our topic for today on Word for America. I am Dr. Luke. You are listening to WPGT 90.1 FM, where we preach grace and truth. I am with, as always, Pastor Teacher Brandon Ellison, Grace Life Church of Lake City, and our resident Barnabas, Matthew Graham, also Grace Life Church of Lake City. Thanks for sitting in, guys.
Thank you.
Did you interpret for me, please, Pastor?
Yeah, I believe what Dr. Luke said is welcome to Word for America program.
And you are good.
I've got a gift. Come on, somebody.
I thought I said, come on, somebody. Give me an amen. You didn't say, give me an amen.
Hey, I'm just saying what you said.
Well,
you forgot the amen.
I thought I said, like, see my bow tie, untie my bow tie. She wrote it on a Honda. Yeah, Brother David Miller taught us how to do that.
He teaches us
how. We're making some fun of this, but it's kind of interesting. It's kind of funny in ways, but then again, it's tragic. Yeah, there's some really big problems with this, and we want to look at this today. And we don't have time to go into all of the speaking in the tongues. We've talked about this on the show before, just the whole idea of talking in tongues. But in particular today, we want to look at the account in 1 Corinthians in chapter 14, where Paul is writing the letter to the church at Corinth. And he gives them some instructions about orderly worship. And he actually talks about this idea of talking in tongues and how it's supposed to be done. Now, I'm going to read this passage of Scripture. It's chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verses 27 through 35. And we're going to go through this. There's actually seven restrictions that are placed on the use of tongues. Now, I want you all who are listening, and some of you may believe in speaking in tongues. Some of you may believe that. Listen to what we say, and listen openly, because Paul gives some restrictions on that. And if we think about what you see in churches today, you turn on TBN, turn on God TV, turn on Sid Roth. You would turn on one of these, and you see unorderly garbage, gibberish being spoken, no one interpreting. It's mostly women that you're going to see. And there's restrictions on all of this stuff that we're going to see here.
Yeah, and that's really key, because I've started kind of having a bit of a different approach whenever I'm doing what we might say apologetics with individuals who believe in the continuation of the speaking in tongues. I used to take more of an approach that you would see from Brother John MacArthur, more of a cessationist type viewpoint of just showing how all of the sign gifts are gone. But I'm not sure that that's the most beneficial, because there are some of those connecting verses to arrive at those conclusions that seem to be very elusive in the New Testament. But what we do have is when we're engaging with these individuals, what normally is the case is if they are speaking in tongues, if we want to say that the gift of tongues is still operative in the local church in our setting, then almost 100% of the time, or I'm perfectly fine with saying 100% of the time because I've never heard of it being done accurately, they are breaking at least one of these restrictions that Paul calls upon. So I would still, even if we cannot prove without a shadow of a doubt, my convictions aside, that speaking in tongues has ceased to exist, what we can prove is that they are in disobedience to the Word of God.
Yeah, but based on these restrictions in this passage of Scripture. So I want to read this passage, and then we're going to go through these restrictions very clearly, bringing them from the Word of God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 27 through 35, and it reads like this. I'm reading from the ESV. It says, "If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two, or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church." Now, we are going to go through these, and we're going to pull out these restrictions that are placed on tongues, and I want to, like Brandon was talking about, I want to compare what we see out in the world, see this happening, whether it be on TV, whether it be in your local church, whether it be in a church that you've visited. I want to go through these things. So the very first thing that we see in this passage when we're looking at restrictions of speaking in tongues, and when we say speaking in tongues, we're talking about language. This is a little different than in Acts chapter 2, where everybody was hearing the tongues in their own language. We weren't talking about prophesying in a different tongue. It's a totally different context here.
It is different, and the two Greek words that we have in Acts chapter 2 make it evident, really without any rebuttal needed from anyone.
In the context.
That it is genuine, real, intelligible, known language.
Right.
Now, the wording that we have here in 1 Corinthians 14, if I'm going to be honest, is a bit more ambiguous than that. But that's really not the issue that we're dealing with during this program. I mean, it's clear that there was, these things were causing confusion inside of the church at Corinth, which is why the Apostle Paul writes him this letter, because he doesn't want them to be confused on this issue.
Right, right. And so our point being made there, two different issues of speaking in tongues, Acts 2, 1 Corinthians
14. And I would say that although they are connected, because the Spirit of God is certainly the one orchestrating all of these, and sovereign God is in control of the church as well as what happens on the day of Pentecost, the difference comes in the fact that I do not believe that Acts chapter 2 is what we know as the spiritual gift of tongues, because these restrictions as well as the mandates that we have for speaking in tongues are not observed in Acts chapter 2. So if they are speaking of the exact same thing, then the Bible is not consistent.
And that's why I said the context is different that we're getting. So and that's everything, right? That's the way to interpret Scripture. Context,
yeah.
context. So let's look at the first restriction. The first restriction that we come across here in this passage is that the number of the tongue speakers were restricted. Look at verse 27, the first part, which we would say 27a of chapter 14. It says, "If any speak in a tongue," okay, "if any of you speak in a tongue or speak in a different language, let there be only two or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret." So, two or three.
Yeah.
So let's step back, 5,000 foot view. And let's think about what we've seen and what we have been seeing or see with speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Do we see this?
No, you know,
two or three?
The amazing thing, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, so needless to say, I never witnessed any of this. But And right now I don't have cable TV or dish network or anything on my television, so I don't get the channels that play this type of thing. But the few times where I have been to these types of services where speaking in tongues is being engaged in, it wasn't one individual speaking at once. In fact, one of these occasions where the pastor has a name that would be fitting for the Flintstones cartoon, it was almost everyone in the congregation that night was engaging in speaking in tongues.
Mm.
That's completely different than what I see here in Corinthians.
And I'm assuming that from what I've seen, it's been multiple people at the same time speaking.
Absolutely. And, you know, it caused confusion.
Oh.
I didn't have a clue in the world as to what was going on in there. Not a clue. Now, I might have been the only one. Everyone else seemed to be really into it.
Yeah.
But I was confused.
Yeah, and God's not a God of confusion. But yeah, so first off, Paul says, you know, let there be only two or at most. He gives a little leeway here, guys.
Yeah.
Or at most three, but each in turn. So what
and
we see,
it.
And that's it.
Yeah, and that. And so let's put this in the local church setting. Okay, let's say that the gift of tongues is still going on today. Well, if Brother Matthew Graham has a word from the Lord, he stands up and speaks in tongues. And then Sean Waugh, Dr. Luke, he's got a word from the Lord too. So he stands up in turn and speaks in tongues. And Brother Justin stands up and speaks in tongues. And I'm sitting in the back and I'm like, but I've got a word from the Lord too.
You get to hold it.
Too bad.
That's right.
Too bad.
Too bad.
Clearly it's just a word from the Lord for you.
And it's at most three. So, like you said, we can disqualify any church setting. We can disqualify them based on this right here, very simple, this simple word of God. If there are more than three out that are out of turn, that are all together speaking in tongues, scratch it right now, because that is contradictory to the word of God. That is out of order. That is out of the order of worship, as Paul clearly lays out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
You know, and I would encourage you that if you're a part of a congregation that engages in this and you are disobeying that restriction, I want to remind you, as with all of these restrictions, Ephesians tells us that the Lord loved the church and gave himself up for her. He purchased her as a bride, and he desires to purify that bride. If you continue on in sin, you are mishandling the bride of Christ.
Yeah, mishandling the word. And the second part of that verse, let's just go to the next restriction. We kind of already mentioned it. The order of tongues was restricted. Okay, let there be two, at most three, and each in turn. There has to be an order. And then it says, you know, let someone interpret, which is we're going to talk about too. So each in turn, they have to be in turn. This is 27 Part B,
right,
which means in sections. They have to do it individually. Though it meant that those who spoke in tongues were to do so in a specific order. Now, let's just step back, and what do we see?
Yeah, no two people at the same time.
I
mean, you know, I can't really focus on two people that are speaking English at the same time. I don't have a clue what either of them are saying.
Yeah, because, well, it's confusion.
even if you weren't talking in tongues, would you want two pastors speaking at the same time?
Not even in English.
Exactly. So the confusion from having two people speaking in tongues, or three people, or half the church speaking in tongues at one time, would not, you know.
Because Paul has already said prior to this point, he says, you know, look, if you're just babbling, nobody knows what you're saying. All you're doing is you're a noisy gong. All you're doing is talking into thin air. It seems like a lot of these churches that place these specifics on their people to speak in tongues, they really chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians is gone out of their Bibles.
Yeah, they use the Arminian highlighter.
Yeah,
just the old Sharpie.
We don't, that word elect, we're taking out. That word predestination, we're just going to take that out.
And all these seven restrictions as well.
Yeah, and if I had it, and not just the one to scratch it out completely, but if I had a highlighter to be able to highlight, we found those famous words of free will somewhere that we could highlight in there too. We could find.
All right,
let's
rein Dr. Luke back in.
Here.
We're talking about speaking in tongues tonight.
You mentioned Arminian. See, he brings up Arminian, and we're not talking countries.
Right.
So let's go back here to our order of or our restrictions on tongues. So we've talked about the number of tongue speakers and the order of tongue speakers being restricted. Now, the interpretation of the tongues were also restricted. You look at the last part of verse 27 or 27C. It says, and let someone interpret. It doesn't say many. It says, let someone interpret. So there had to be a interpreter for those who were speaking in tongues, not more than three, right? Not more than
Correct.
Three. And those three, if there were three, two or three, or I guess there could be one, but there had to be an interpreter. And if there were more than one, then they had to do it in order, and someone had to interpret. Someone had to build up and edify the rest of the body to say, hey, mm-hmm. this is what this brother is saying.
Yeah, and this word interpret, I mean, the Greek word means to expound, to preach, basically, is what it's calling upon us to do. It's to explain thoroughly and completely. So let's again move this over into the local church setting. Barnabas stands up and has a word from the Lord, and he gives that in an unknown language. Sean, with the gift of interpretation, stands up and he expounds upon that word of the Lord. What is that? Well, that's preaching. Exactly what's going on here.
Right.
It's expounding upon what God has clearly spoken.
Right. And, of course, what's being spoken should be the words of the Lord, should be the scriptures,
yeah.
Nothing
Absolutely.
Outside the bounds
right.
of Scripture.
Anything interpreted should line up with the Bible.
Yeah, there's no new fresh revelations. You know,
exactly.
We have a closed canon of Scripture. So the interpretation was also restricted. So that's our third one that we're looking at here. So we have that. So let's look at our next restriction that we have with the interpreter.
You know, and by the way, just another word of admonishment. Okay, so if you're in our listening audience and you have the gift of speaking in tongues, you believe, and you attend a church where there is no interpreter, sit on it.
Yeah.
You can't speak.
Yeah, you got a restriction there. Absolutely. I mean, that should be what we're following here. Let's look at the next mandate or the next restriction on tongues. It's the mandate of silence. Look at verse 28, chapter 14, verse 28, 1 Corinthians. It says, but we're just continuing on in context, in the flow here. It says, but if there is no one to interpret, as Brandon just brought up, if there is no one to interpret, let each of him keep silent or sit on it. As
yeah.
Pastor Brandon
yeah.
said.
Yeah, he was jumping ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. So there is a mandate of silence if there is no one to interpret. I see, here's what I see, again, 5,000 foot view, what I see, mass chaos, more than three speaking, no one interpreting, there's no one there to interpret, so nobody's keeping silent. So basically, these first four restrictions that I've seen, in every instance of speaking in tongues that I've ever witnessed, has failed all four of these restrictions that I can think of.
Yeah, their batting average is not stellar,
no.
to say the least,
no.
at this point.
No.
And the thing is that if the church is speaking in tongues and they don't follow this, like you've already said, they are being disobedient and sinning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
these are here for a reason. I mean, Paul plays, these are in Scripture for a reason. They are in our Bibles for a reason. And like Brandon said, this is the bride of Christ. You know, we need to cherish her as he does, his bride as well. So we've got this mandate of silence, as well. So the next restriction that we see and we see it in verse 30, it's this mandate of self-control. Look at verse 30. It says, if a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. Or if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. So if while one brother is speaking, another brother received a word from God, the later was to remain silent until the former brother's prophecy was completed. What do we see? 5,000 foot view. What do we see?
We see organization. If somebody's speaking and giving a revelation, the next one, even if he's already received a revelation from the Lord, would wait until that was complete.
Well, that's how it's supposed to be done.
Well, yes.
My point is,
was done.
What do we see?
We see mass chaos. It's a grab and go for the mic very often. You know, and the sad part about this is you can go onto the YouTube and you can just, whatever you do on YouTube, search, I suppose, for speaking in tongue videos. And you know the amazing thing? You're going to find some how-to videos.
They can teach you how to do it.
And it, inevitably, at some point, this guy or this lady is going to say, and you're not going to be able to control it, your mouth is just going to open up and your tongue's going to get loose and all of these vowels and sounds are going to be coming out of your mouth and you can't control it. It's the Lord doing it. It's not you. Here's the problem with that. You know, I've listened to some of this stuff. Here's my problem. Speaking in tongues as set forth in the Bible is a gift of the Spirit of God. Well, let's see some consistency and some systematic overview of the spiritual gifts. And we flip over to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, 23, and we find that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control.
Right.
What do you do with that? I mean, now there's a sense in which whenever I'm preaching and teaching, which is a giftedness that God has given to me, it is not me doing it. I'm not in control of that, but what I do have is self-control through the whole thing. And I'm not going to lose that self-control because the fruit of the Spirit is self-control.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's got to be consistency or something's wrong.
Yeah. So there's this mandate, you know, for self-control. It's a restriction placed on tongues, which, again, you know, I've never witnessed, not one time, and seeing this.
You mean you've never seen a restriction on it?
Never seen any of these so far. So they're
yeah, and then I know the rebuttal is going to come, well, the Lord, He gives to me a word, and I've got to let it go. I've got to give that word out. I don't want to waste it. Okay, well, you take that up with the Lord, because He puts a restriction on that in 1 Corinthians.
There's a problem. There's where you land. So even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
Right.
You know, the classic, well, God spoke to me. Did He really?
Well, with anything, if you've got a desire, that does not mean that you have to follow through with what you have.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a desire to speak this word. Well, if it falls within the parameters that the Lord's given you. But like you've said, like we've all said, none of us have seen any of these restrictions followed.
Yeah. And so that's the next one. So let's just kind of move on. Let's look at verses 34 and 35. We have a restriction placed on women. Now, here's where a lot of people miss this in the context. They think that the women can't even speak in church. In the context of 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking about tongue speaking. It's very, very clear here.
Yeah, and there's some good arguments that this is speaking about genuine conversation in general. Well, even if that is the case, I don't see the break in context to neglect this from the speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
At least we would say they're connected.
Exactly. I mean, the flow, we're looking here at verse 34, 35. It says, "The women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church."
Yeah, so the context here is clear. We've been talking about speaking in tongues. No way to get around it.
No.
Now he mentions the women not speaking in the local assembly.
Okay.
So women are forbidden from speaking in tongues in the local church or from interpreting tongues. Why? Why is that? I mean, that's the question. Why does God restrict them from doing that? Well, the reason, clearly, is because of other principles and restrictions He places upon women elsewhere.
Because there's also going to be men there.
Absolutely. In 1 Timothy 2:12, you know, Paul is clear that a woman is not to teach and have authority over men in the church. Well, tongues, when it is done correctly, it is receiving a word directly from the Lord. It is standing up and following these restrictions as laid out by the Spirit of God and speaking forth that word in a language that you may not understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then if a sister gets up and she interprets that and she expounds upon it, as
mm-hmm.
the Greek word is saying,
mm-hmm.
what she has done is she has taken a teaching and preaching role in the local church, and she is in disobedience, and that church is in disobedience for allowing her to do so.
Absolutely.
Now, at the time when this was occurring, wouldn't that have actually been a part where that word and the expounding on it would actually be above the pastor of the church, because that would have been a direct word from the Lord?
I don't know if it would have been above, but it would have been in correlation with
right.
what he was saying.
Okay.
The pastor would have still been speaking for the Lord in the Spirit.
Right, and exactly. the point is...
I'm with you.
Yeah,
you're correct.
You're right.
Right, and our point is that this is, like Brandon was saying, this is teaching, like a teaching moment. And if that woman is therefore teaching over a man, that is forbidden in you know, Paul, as he writes to Timothy, forbids that.
Yeah.
So, you know, sorry, Beth Moore... Sorry, Joyce Meyer. Sorry, whoever else I can name.
Yeah.
They do not have the biblical authority to teach over a man.
And here's the challenge. Wherever it is you live, or you can turn on the TV, you go to one of these large Pentecostal charismatic movement churches, and what you're going to see with your little eyes are the majority of tongue speakers in that congregation are going to be women. There's a problem.
Yep.
There's a problem
right here. So we're not batting very good.
From
what we know, speaking in tongues. And finally, we're running short on time. Let's look at the last one. The restriction here, and in all of this context that we're talking about, this is a letter from the Apostle Paul written to whom?
Local church.
The local church at Corinth. So the restriction of this is placed on the local church. So what does that mean, Pastor Brandon, with this restriction as it being in the local church context?
Well, I believe something that goes along with this restriction, and I owe great debt of gratitude to Pastor Jonathan Sims for pointing this out in one of his sermons, is that within the local assembly, where the speaking of tongues and all of the gifts of the Spirit should be made manifest, there's going to be regular faithful members who are going to know each other very well. And that person's character and credibility and background and their commitment to Jesus, their commitment to tithing and soul winning and obedience to the Word of God in general, it's going to be made known.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why that's so important. If an individual is going to stand behind a pulpit and expound upon the clear Word of the Lord, then I want to know something of the character of that individual. I want to know that he is holding up to the qualifications that go along with being a mouthpiece for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing. If we let someone wander in off of the street and stand up and begin speaking in tongues or interpreting the speaking in tongues, we have someone who has taken on the role of a pastor teacher at that point in time who we know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
So the local church setting restriction here, I believe what it does is it protects the fidelity of the church
mm-hmm.
and that these are only going to be individuals who are in good standing. We know their lives. We know that they have a walk with the Lord. Those are the ones that we want bringing to us the word of the Lord and expounding upon it.
Absolutely. So there's are the restrictions that are placed on tongues. If you want to hear this show again, you can go back to our archives on sermonaudio.com. You can find us, Grace Life Church of Lake City, and then you will find these archive shows there. You can also find us on the web at gracelifechurchlc.com. If you want to write the show, you can write us at wordforamerica@gmail.com. That is all one word. As always, here at Word for America, we ask you to be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, to search the Scriptures daily to know that what you are hearing and seeing is of the Lord.
Oh, yeah, and Paul says that tongues shall cease.